Okay. Good morning, everybody. That worship was really sweet. Thank you, ladies. Okay. Well, Lord, I just want to reiterate that no thing can compare. There is no one like you. Your name is the name above every name. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for your word that does not return void, but it goes forth and accomplishes the desire of your heart and the purpose for which you've sent it. Let it be your words that are heard today, Lord, and let it be your message that's given, and let it be your spirit that empowers. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so our topic today is receiving God's vision for you. And how that came about was in the women's leadership meetings that we have on Sunday mornings. We always ask the Lord what he wants to do at each one of these. We've mentioned that several times. And for this particular time, as we were in there praying, I asked, Lord, is there anything you want to say right now? And I love him. He's so practical in his ways. He said, Martha Stewart has succeeded because she had a dream and kept it before her. Ask me for the dream I have for each of you. And teach the women to ask me for the dream I have for each of them. I'm a God of dreams and vision. I have a dream for each of you. Receive it from me and keep it before you. And he gave me Habakkuk 2, 2 and 3. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. She, Martha, went through many difficulties along the way. And that was in the natural. Imagine what can happen in Christ. See it completed. Whatever the vision is that the Lord gives you for your life, see it completed. If you were here last November, you might remember that the Lord kind of tricked me into speaking, and I didn't know I was going to be doing that until the very last little bit. And what happened was I was sharing out of my journal, and that was what I was asked to do. And the thing that I shared was just one straight long thing. It wasn't a whole bunch of different things. It just kind of had the same theme all the way through. And starting last February, the Lord started talking to me about teaching about hearing from him, and for people to get a vision from him by listening to him, hearing him speak to them about what the vision he has for their life is. I don't know if you can see this very well, and I'm not going to read these, but if you can see paper clips, if you can see how many paper clips are there, that's how many times the Lord has spoken to me about this very subject. There might be one or two that are something else, but for the most part, out of those three journals, and part of this one, the Lord has been speaking to me. And so I say that to you to say this, that he wants to speak to each and every one of you, and he wants you to have a history of what he's been saying to you, because it's so important that we be able to go back and see what he says, because like clay pots leak water when you water your plants, we leak the things that he says to us. We leak his word. And so we have to keep getting refreshed and be reminded. So So our subject of receiving God's vision for you, I got to turn it on. I told you I was technically challenged. Okay, we always want to start with the kingdom of God, because every vision that's for us, every dream that God has, everything that he's purposed for us always has to do with his kingdom. So we always want to think in terms of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ephesians 2:10. For we, each and every one of us, are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. God saw it, knew it, Jesus knew it. It happened before the foundation of the world. We need to see things completed when God gives us a vision, to hold on to it and not let it go. And when I speak of vision, thank you, Don. I am going to use this slide. Let's look down at the very bottom where it says the Hebrew word for vision, chazon. It's a sight mentally. So we have a spirit that we have that has eyes and ears and a heart. Our spirit can see. We can see in the spirit realm. We can hear in the spirit realm. So when we do have a vision that is a sight, we see that in our minds. Also, a dream, it's an example of it is a dream. We could have a dream, or we could have just revelation. Sometimes God just drops something in you and you just know something and you don't know how you know it, but you know it. A little example of that was several years ago, quite a few years ago, I had a friend who was in her young 30s and was about to be married for the first time. Only before that happened, we went to go for a walk one day. She wasn't dating anybody. And there she was talking about for the first time maybe getting married. And she was thinking about this one guy. And she just wondered if maybe God would have that guy for her. And no sooner had she said that than it was like an earthquake went off inside of me. And I knew she was going to marry a completely different person. And I didn't think she even knew that person. And so that was just kind of, I could hardly talk. I couldn't say anything to her about it, but it was such a shattering kind of thing. I mean, I just, I couldn't even hardly find words to speak because my mind was now thinking on this other thing. And so we are walking along, talking and whatnot, and I go home afterwards and I just pray, Lord, what do I do with this? And I knew I couldn't tell her, so I just needed to pray. 2 months later, that guy asked her out on a date, and what would be 7 months from when he told me, they got married. And I was her, whatever the lady is. Matron of honor, yeah. So it can come that way too. It can just be a revelation that you have and it doesn't make any sense to you and you don't know why you have it or how it got there. It just did. So when I'm speaking of God's vision for you, he can give it to you any way he wants to. Today we're going to be talking mostly about speaking, him speaking and us hearing. So what happens when there is no vision? Where there's no vision, the people perish. Sounds kind of harsh. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That's from the King James. In the NIV, it says, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. I want to deal with the underlying parts here. Where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. So we're talking about getting a revelation, hearing from the Lord what His vision is for your life. And when you get that, there's such an excitement about it. If you've ever experienced it, you know what I mean. And if you haven't, hang on. Where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, from the English Standard Version. So this is Old Testament times, where a lot of times the prophetic message came through a prophet. But in this day and age, God speaks directly to us. We can get it through a prophet, but most of the time, He just wants to speak to us. So, in the scriptures, we see that one way that God revealed to individuals His vision, the good works, that's what the vision is, the good works that He's planned in advance for them to do, from Genesis to Revelation, is through conversations with them. And by the way, I stuck this little note in here, an enlightening exercise to try. The Lord had me do this one time. It took me a while, and I didn't get that far, but I started doing it, and I was shocked. If you just thumb through the Bible page by page, not reading it, but just looking for everywhere it says, and God said, and God spoke to, and God told so-and-so, and you start looking at not just that God said that, but there was a response, and it was a conversation. Because there's a lot of God told people to do things, but there's a heck of a lot more conversations in the Bible between God and man than I realized. And once I started doing that, I was blown away. So anyway, an example of God speaking to man and man speaking back and carrying on just a conversation like you and I would. The first one is in Genesis. And I have Acts 9 here, but I'm going to take you to Genesis first. In Genesis 3, we have the account of where Adam and Eve sinned. And it says, "And the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said," the Lord said, "'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?' The man said, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' So the Lord God said to the serpent," see all this conversation that's going on? And there's more. I'm not going to go through it any more of it. You get the idea there. Chapter 4. I hadn't really thought about this before I started doing this, but in the story of Cain and Abel, they brought their offerings forth, and Abel's was accepted, but Cain's was not. And it says, "The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it.'" He's giving him an instruction. They're having a conversation. "Now Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let's go out to the field.' While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him." This is right after what God said to him. So he goes out and he kills his brother. "Then the Lord said to Cain," he's still talking to him. He just killed his brother, but the Lord's still talking to him. "Where's your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse. See, he's giving him a vision here, not the one that we want, but he's telling him what's going to come to be. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that anyone who found him would not kill him. Okay. Lest you think that I've had a bad day or I have sinned against you, Lord, you'll never talk to me again. He talked to Cain, he talked to Adam, he talked to Eve, and he talked to the serpent. So when we repent and come back to him, he's always willing. Okay, so Acts 9, 1 through 31. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that he found, if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. He didn't even know who he was, but he knew he was Lord. He didn't know this Lord, but he knew he was Lord. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into this city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias." Okay, so now Saul has heard the Lord's voice as the Lord was talking to him. And then the Lord gave him a vision, and in the vision, he saw a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he's come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. Has the Lord ever asked you to do something that you didn't really feel too comfortable about doing? But he'll talk you through it. But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles.'" See, he's given the vision here. He's given Ananias the vision of what Saul, later to be Paul, what his purpose is, what God's purpose for him in the kingdom is. "This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." So as soon as he hears that from the Lord, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Now he didn't have any fear. He knew this is what he was supposed to do. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. What if neither one of them would have obeyed him? They did, and it's still having an effect today, and it will have an effect. Yeah. And so, she said, until Jesus comes back. And so think about that, how important it is that we each get the vision the Lord has for us. He has a purpose for each of us in his kingdom, and he wants us to do the good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. but we need to know what they are. So here's another little account of it in Acts 26, 13 through 18. Paul is now Saul. Saul is now Paul. And Paul is talking to King Agrippa. And he's telling him about what happened to him. And he says, "About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up, stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me.'" So he's giving him the vision of what he's going to do, but he's also telling him, "You're going to see more. I haven't shown you all of it yet for an appointed time. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." So, Paul got his word from the Lord, his vision. He knew what the good works were that were prepared in advance for him to do. Did he know all the details? Nope. He just knew that this is what he was going to be doing. He didn't have any idea what that was going to look like. He had no idea how much he was going to suffer. Because remember, the Lord told Ananias that he was going to tell him, but he hadn't yet. So, when Jesus went away, he said that the Father would send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he says, but when he's telling the disciples, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Mm-hmm. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. Just like Paul heard what was yet to come, Holy Spirit will tell us what is yet to come for our lives, for God's kingdom. Jesus said, "He will glorify me," Jesus, "because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine." Do you see all three of them? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. "All that belongs to the Father is mine. And that is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." So here we are with the mind of the flesh versus the mind of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:6 says, "Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever." It's from the Amplified Classic. It's pretty profound when you look at that. When we're trying to figure things out in our head, I have a friend who, for many years, would say to me, "Karen, get out of your head. You're not going to be able to figure it out. You just need to listen with your spirit." Romans 8:14, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." How are we led by the Spirit of God? Well, he tells us things. He might tell us something out of this word. We all know that he can speak to us out of the word. He highlights things to us. He can just direct us through the word in different ways to get his message to us. We know from scriptures that he can lead us by his spirit in lots of different ways, through visions, dreams, revelations, all those kinds of things. But he speaks to us. And when he speaks to us, he tells us what's yet to come so that we can then know what to do. That's why in the women's leadership team, we don't ever just sit down with our good ideas about what we're going to do next month. We always sit and ask him. First, we praise and worship him a little, and then we just wait and ask him, what do you want to do? And sometimes he'll give one person a piece, and he'll give another person a piece, and he'll give another person a piece. Sometimes he'll give it all to one person. We never know how he's going to do it. There's no pat way of doing it. We can't put him in a box. He does it the way he wants. But if we're led by the Spirit, we are the children of God. And as the children of God, we need to be led by the Spirit. Nehemiah 9:20, you gave your good spirit to instruct them. We need instruction. We can't figure it out by ourselves. Isaiah 55:8 and 9. This is the Lord's message. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Jesus walked on this earth in a human body with a human mouth and voice box, and he spoke, and people could hear him with their natural ears. But he's in heaven now, and we're his body, but Holy Spirit dwells in us, and as Holy Spirit is in us, he speaks to us thought to thought, spirit to spirit. So when we're listening for him, a lot of times it will just sound and to us like it's our thoughts. But the more that we practice that, the more we begin to and write it down, because then we can go back and we can tell what's him and what's not him. It becomes very clear who it is and who it's not. So if you were here in November, you heard me say that in one of my journals, February 18th, of 2017, the Lord gave me these five key scriptures. Well, actually, he didn't give them to me on the 18th. He told me that he wanted me to use these, to use five key scriptures to teach. And I was like, okay, well, what five key scriptures? And it was silent. And I knew if he told me that, he'd give them to me sometime. I just didn't know when. Well, a few days later, a couple days later, I think it was like maybe 4 days later, he spoke a bunch of stuff to me, and I didn't really think much of it at the time, but about a week or so later, a week and a half maybe later, came home from church, and I was contemplating Dave's sermon. It was something about his sermon, I don't remember what it was now, but I was thinking about it and just pondering it. And as I did, the Lord told me to go back to the 22nd and look at what he had given me and count the scriptures in there. And so I went back and I counted the scriptures, and I knew these are the five key scriptures. If I had not written it down, I would have never known. So since that time, he's told me over and over again that he wanted me to teach on these five key scriptures, and I've been like, okay, I don't know what to do with them. You need to show me. And so he has, and that's why there's so many paper clips in my journals. Jeremiah 10:23 says, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. Okay? If our lives are not our own, whose are they? I have died, and it's Christ who lives in me. I am not my own. I was bought with a price. It's not for them to direct their steps. It's not for me to direct my steps. Not for me to decide what I want to do. It's not for me to figure it out in my head with sense and reason, because that leads to death. Proverbs 20:24. A person's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand their own way? We've been doing a class on this on Wednesdays, and I would love to have been able to bring all the scriptures that we've been using for each and every one of these, but it would just have been too much today. So we're just going through these because God is speaking to each and every one of us right now, whether we're aware of it or not. He's telling us this is His word, not mine. And He's saying it's not for us to direct our steps, that our steps are directed by the Lord. We can't understand our own way. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Psalm 25:9. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. What does that mean, to be humble? We need to first understand that He's God and we're not, and we need to humble ourselves to understand that we need to hear from Him, because we have no clue what the good works are that He has prepared in advance for us to do. So we need to get that from Him. And we do that by just humbling ourselves before Him, surrendering to Him, listening to Him, acknowledging that we need to hear from Him. Proverbs 3:32, the Lord detests the perverse, but He takes the upright into His confidence. I'm going to touch on that one in a minute. And Psalm 119:133 is our response to all of this. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. That term word, direct my footsteps according to your word, in the Hebrew, it's imrah, however you say that. And it means your commandment, your speech, your word. And we have this Bible that is His word, His Logos word, but He also speaks to us with a rhema word. And that is a now word that happens when He speaks to us and says something to us. Going back to the fourth key scripture, Proverbs 3:32, the Lord detests the perverse, but He takes the upright into His confidence. In the Amplified Classic, I love this. For the perverse are an abomination, extremely disgusting and detestable to the Lord. I don't love that part. But His confidential communion, fellowship, His confidential communion and secret counsel are with the uncompromisingly righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with Him. His confidential communion and secret counsel. He says in Proverbs 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Counsel here in the Hebrew is etzah, or aitzah, however you say that. And it means advice, by implication, a plan. So he advises us. It says also prudence and advisement. So he advises us with his plan, his vision for us. So now we're going to look at the five key scriptures this way. Would you read it with me? Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. A person's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand their own way? He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. The Lord detests the perverse, but he takes the upright into his confidence. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Here it is as a prayer. Lord, I know that my life is not my own. It is not for me to direct my steps. My steps are directed by you, Lord. Let's just all say it together. Lord, I know that my life is not my own. It is not for me to direct my steps. My steps are directed by you, Lord. I cannot understand my own way. You guide me in what is right when I humble myself before you and teach me your way. You detest the perverse, but you take me, the upright, into your confidence. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Colossians 1:9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. How are we going to get the knowledge of his will? Through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. So why do we need the knowledge of his will and through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives? So that we may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in, here it is, every good work. The good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. Growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. So if they prayed that the ones they were praying for would be filled with the knowledge of his will, with the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, I think we probably need that too. So this is really important. In order for us to hear from the Lord the majority of the time, sometimes he just intrudes. You can be in the middle of something and he'll just drop something in or he'll speak to you. He can do anything he wants. But most of the time, we need to do what Psalm 37:7 says, and that's be still. So no cell phones, no TV, no projects while we're listening. Be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for him. Because sometimes it takes a little waiting. And patiently lean yourself upon him. Fret not. That's as far as I'm taking it. Fret not about anything. So we talked about it's important to journal what the Lord says to you. Habakkuk 2:2, we already said that. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation. So when we get a revelation from the Lord, it's important for us to write it down. When he tells us something, we need to write it down because this is not just some Joe on the street. This is God. He's talking to us, and if he's talking to us, it's important that we not only hear him, but that we make a record of it so that we can go back and remember it when we need to. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. When God gives us a vision that he has for us, he gives us a word that tells us what he, the works that he's prepared for us in advance to do. When he wants us to do something, it generally, not always, because sometimes it's immediate, but if it's a vision for something that's coming, when he's telling us what's yet to come, it does have an appointed time, and he only knows what that appointed time is. Leading small groups was never my idea. Doing this was never my idea. But it's what the Lord said, and it was for an appointed time. It's over a year since he first told me. And so it's really important that we write down what he says. He thinks it's important too, because in Jeremiah 30, verse 2, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, write in a book all the words I have spoken to you. So if he thought it was important for them to write them in a book, I assume he thinks it's important for us too. Okay, so now if you have a pen and paper, if you would just get ready, because this is what we're going to do right now. One of the questions that I often ask the Lord in my quiet time with him is, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me today? And I leave it open-ended. And it's amazing the things that he says when I do that. Sometimes I ask him about specific things and he'll answer me, or not. But a lot of times I just leave it open-ended, because then I'm kind of excited to hear what he has to say. So today, given what we've just gone through in all the scriptures, that it's not for us to direct our steps, the Holy Spirit tells us what's yet to come, given all of the scriptures that we've had today, would you just take a couple minutes and ask, Lord, what do you want to say to me today now that I've heard these scriptures? Then just write the thoughts that come into your mind. Remember, the Spirit is in you, and Holy Spirit will speak to you in thoughts, because he doesn't have a physical mouth here to speak out loud, so he'll speak to you in thoughts. So just write the thoughts that come into your mind. Don't edit. Just start writing as soon as you ask and he starts speaking. As you write what you hear, more will come. Whatever is from him will line up with his character and word. So I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes to just, don't try and figure it out, just sit and start writing. Lord, what do you want to say to me today now that I've heard these scriptures? Quite a bit. Everybody was busy writing. Thank you, Lord. So the last one I read about Martha Stewart was on May 6th. So May 20th, as we were in the leadership, well, actually it was in the morning before I got here. It was in my quiet time with the Lord. And he just highlighted Nehemiah 9:20 to me, which we covered. And it says, you gave your good spirit to instruct them. And it just, you know how it is when it just grabs you. And so I said, I just asked him, Lord, what do you want for the next women's gathering, June 2nd? I mean, I knew what he had said, but I needed more. He said, instruct my women to get the vision I have for them. And he gave me Proverbs 29:18 again, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. How will they know my thoughts or my way if they don't ask me? And receive the vision I have for them. Are they willing? Ask them. Ask them to commit to 1 month of seeking me each day for the vision I have for each of them. Have them write it down each day. If they will meet with me, I will meet with them. I will give them insight as they ask. None are too old. None are too young. None are too feeble. None are too wise. All need to hear from me so they will know the plans I have for them that are for good, not evil. Jeremiah 29:11. Will you show them how simple it is? And so, this is our last slide. Maybe? Did I shut it off? Oh, it's on. There we go. So, this is what the Lord's asking. Are you willing to commit to 1 month of seeking the Lord each day for His vision for you? To write down what you hear from Him. And He promises that if you will meet with Him, He will meet with you. James 4:8 says, come near to God and He will come near to you. So that'll be between you and Him. But in a month, I would love to hear any reports that anyone has about what the Lord did, if you're willing to share. Now Betty's going to come up and share. Let's see, turn this thing off. Okay.
I can use this mic. Okay. Stay on more room.
Yeah.
Is that where you want to stand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine. I just need a stand. There we go. Okay, this feels good to me. Good morning, everybody.
Do you want this higher? Is it easy?
Well, as long as they can hear me, I don't care.
Okay.
When I was in college, I was a guide for tours through the Homestake Mining Company in Leeds, South Dakota. And no mics were there. And I was voted the guide with the loudest voice. Well, I was a singer, and I was taught in the days before microphones how to project my voice. And I could do that really well. I grew up in a loud family, too, anyway. This topic is just wonderful. And God's vision for you. I was asked to write down notes so that I won't bird track and I'll do that. I, from the time I was very little, I loved anything to do with theater, movies, music, dancing. I made up my own dances all over the house. You know, I never took any of those lessons except piano. So that's what bubbled to the surface. And that's how I became a music major when I went to college. But I loved anything to do with theater. And so the Lord, in His mercy, before I knew Him, saw to it that I was teaching music. And that scratched that itch. Because I approached my teaching like performance preparation. It wasn't like I sat down and decided, now what things about music do these children need to know? It was, can I get them to sing? Can I get them to... And, you know, that was sometimes under question by others. But anyway, in spite of me, it worked well. So then, when I became a Christian at age 30, I moved here 50 years ago this year to teach music at Star Lake Elementary School in Federal Way. And there were some Christian women there that prayed me into the kingdom. And I was saved when I was 30. And I continued teaching. But then all that theater, as an immature Christian, believe me, transferred itself to wanting to be in full-time ministry, music ministry. I wanted to do that. But the Lord was so merciful. Thank God He didn't let me do that. But He did let me do a lot of music leading through Women's Gold Fellowship and at their retreats and at our monthly meetings and then at Midway Covenant Church, probably 20 years of music. And so anyway, the thing that changed the trajectory of my life, you know, I was, as a young Christian, always asking God, what's your will for me? You know, everybody wanted to find out, what's our gifts? What are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to be? We probably drove God crazy. You can't do that to him, thank God. And so there was a point where this issue of wanting to be in full-time ministry really came to a head. And he'd let me really play with that a long time. And then he'd start putting funny little things in the way to just make it not sound so good. Thankfully. But the thing that, you know, what happened when you ask God? Women's Glow offered a lot of training for me in those days, and I was thankful for it. And they had a teaching one day on meditating on Scripture. And so, you know, I went to everything that was offered in a 100-mile radius. I was so thirsty for the Lord and anything he had to say. Well, we got to this Scripture meditation class, and the Scripture picked was the first chapter of Jonah, the first three verses. And when we were told that, I thought, what? How come it's not some wonderful psalm? How come it's not, think on these things, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, this is the verses she gave us. And so, being compliant, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went to the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. And so she said, now just read this slowly. Like Dave even has encouraged us lately, read the gospel slowly. She asked us to read this slowly and pray. We prayed before we started. And I thought, oh, gee, okay. And I'm telling you, I don't think I had started to read more than 10 seconds when the Lord spoke to my heart so clearly, so clearly. He said, you're like Jonah. You'd buy a ticket and go anywhere to get out of this career. You know, I never really wanted to be a teacher, ever. It was kind of black heel marks. And all the way. And he says, you're like Jonah. You'd buy a ticket to get to go anywhere. But he said, I'm telling you that if you will submit to this and teach with your whole heart, I will cause my spirit to pour out on that school if you never mention my name. And that's exactly what he said to me. If you never mention my name, you know, to witnessing to the people I work with and all that stuff, you know, all that thing that you're expected to do, you think, when you're a Christian in your workplace or whatever, and we, you know, and that does happen, thank God. And so I thought, okay. And I was praying with a friend, you know, and I said to the Lord, okay, after this happened, I said, okay, I will do this. But I'm telling you, it broke my heart. And for a flash, I had a vision of myself in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there was a gun to my head. Boom, off it went. And what that meant to me was my own agenda got killed. My own agenda was killed deader than a doornail. I mean, there was no escaping that little vision. It was killed dead. And from then on, it was God's call. And I grieved. I grieved. It's hard to have a vision die. And that led to a bunch of other things. It took 10 years, but the Lord said there won't be any marriage. And that was another grieving, and he let me know it was okay to grieve it. It was okay to grieve it. I thought it was just because I was too weird. No, he said, in a better world, there'd have been somebody. He said, you're the widow of the husband that never was. So he let me grieve. And so, 38 years of teaching in public school. And then I retired early at age 59. I am now 79. And I'm teaching now with this is going to make me cry. The Lord has put me in a teaching place now that I love doing more than anything I've ever done in my life. More than music. More than anything I've ever done. And I'm Exhibit A, that you're never too old for a vision. I'm 79. And I just wrote in my journal today, I want my life to be in the Holy Spirit until the day I die. I don't want one day to go down the drain. And I tell you, every one of you have been gifted in very special ways. We are all made in his image. But he is so complex. He is so complex that he can handle all of our stuff. He can handle it all. I wish I could say these last 50 years, I did it perfectly. Didn't make any mistakes. I was always a brilliant teacher. I was never mean to any kids. I treated them all with respect. And they all loved me. Well, a lot of them did. But I made a lot of mistakes too. But God saw to it that I was teaching with people that encouraged me. Even the ones who weren't saved were wonderful with kids and taught me plenty. And he just took care of it all. And when I retired, I'm not joking, I said, Lord, I don't ever want to make anybody do anything they don't want to do again as long as I live. And the other part, that's the mercy in me, I guess. Mercies aren't good disciplinarians. Anyway, and the other thing is, I just want you to, Lord, my only desire is that you help me be the real me. And because my teaching I kind of called the long obedience. And I don't mean that in any bitter way, but it was an obedience. It didn't always fit. I felt like a square peg in a round hole most of the time. Because I wasn't a classic teacher in the sense of that. I was an intuitive teacher. In some ways that's okay, but in other ways it can get you into trouble. Anyway, all glory to God. And Lord, may this body just shine with what God has purposed for every one of us. The men and the women and the children. The neighborhood. He really loves us. And it's an everlasting love. I'm done.
Would you just close us out?
Sure. Yes. Father, first of all, I just ask you to confirm everything you've spoken to every woman that's here today. And I know you've spoken to everyone. And for those that think maybe it's their own thoughts, help them let go of that and trust that you see them. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you that you have established this time of fellowship for whatever purposes you have and for as long as you intend for it to continue. We thank you for the food, and we thank you for the women who feel called to bring the food. We thank you for that, and we thank you for the time of fellowship over food. And we ask, Lord, that you fill our mouths with words of grace and peace to each other, words of faith and healing, words of encouragement, words of truth. We ask you to enhance our fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen.